Paul said this in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. And he gives a good reason why he sees himself as such in Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. Do you think, thinking back to the people of that, to the church of that day, do you think it'd be hard for some of those who were persecuted by Paul, or who had family members that were persecuted by Paul? Do you think it was hard for them to love Paul? Paul had repented. He had given a new life in Christ that took away his sin, but you know, that doesn't take away some of the repercussions of some of the things that he did. Do you think maybe Paul understood the necessity of loving someone, even if they have hurt you? If love was impossible after being wronged, if love was impossible after being injured or whatever it was, Paul could have been an outcast. Not from God, but maybe from some of those who were part of this of his new family. Paul had a very great understanding of what it means to love, even when it's hard. And with this understanding, he writes this in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is one of the currencies, and Paul points out, is the greatest currency that separates a poor Christian from a rich Christian. If we are rich in gifts, but we do not have love, we are poor. If we are rich in knowledge, but we do not have love, then we are poor. If we are rich in faith, but we do not have love, we are poor. If we are willing to sacrifice, you know, our stuff, our lives, whatever it is, but we don't have any love, we're still a poor Christian. Now, it's hard to imagine doing these things or saying these things or anything like that without love, but if we do, we're missing the point. And what a strange concept this is for people today, but really always has been. Some might view this man who's talking about love, who's putting up love like this, as soft, or a man that's weak. That's way different from somebody that gives their life, somebody who's willing to sacrifice their lives. But God, through Paul, says that if we do not have love, that's worthless. And it's certainly not weak. We read this in 1 John 4 and verse 7. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love, who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. Love is not a weak thing. And as we read into the application of 1 Corinthians 13 that Paul gives us, we see that love is certainly something for strong people. In verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now there's a lot that we could break down here in this section, but I just want to look at verse 7. Again, he says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Does that mean that to love somebody, we have to put up with everything that they do? No. To love somebody, do we have to believe everything that they say? Does that mean that to love somebody, we have to be trampled over or allow ourselves to be trampled over? I think the best way for me to understand this is to take a look at how it is that God loves. I mean, God has never allowed himself to be trampled over. And in fact, he even separated himself from his creation when he needed to do that. But he also bore with us. We see in Genesis 9 and verse 15, the promise that God made, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. And he stuck to that. He is not destroyed again with a flood, even though his creation went back to doing bad after this. He believed in us that we could change and that we would change. In fact, he gave his son for that. He believed and knew that one day he would have a people that he talks about in Jeremiah 24 and verse 7. I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. And he has endured how selfish and evil that we can be until that point. And even during that, whenever we were being selfish and evil, and he was continuing to endure that, he continued to show his kindness, giving us rains and food every year, always taking care of our needs until we found him. Really, to summarize all of this, God never gave up on us. Even when we were disappointing, even when we were anger-inducing. Whenever Walker was about to be born, we just had this feeling that he was going to be coming soon. We were still early, we weren't at the due date, but it felt imminent, so we decided to take a night out together, Rebecca and I. And it was good that we did. If he was not born the next day, he was only born a couple of days later. He came pretty soon after that. But the night that we were having was perfect. We made plans to go to this steakhouse we were going to go together. We decided to go on a walk before we did that. It was a beautiful evening. We're in September, not too hot. I was with my lovely wife. Just everything was perfect until I feel this as we're going on our walk. I feel this pressure on my shoulder. And as I look down, I see that a bird has done something unspeakable all over my shoulder. I was disappointed, to say the least. In fact, I was a little bit angry. But now looking back on it, that has become by far the best part of that story. I look back on that and I think it's hilarious. It was disappointing, but good things can come from disappointing things. We were disappointing at one point in time, and if we are a child of God, even though we may still feel like we are disappointing at times, if we are in Christ and if we are trying to live the life that God wants us to, we are pleasing to God. Something good has come from our life. God has been able to change us. And this is something that we need to remember when it comes to others as well. We are to be a people that loves. God is love. Our God is love. Even when people disappoint us or even just make us plain furious. And I'm not talking about things that we just, may not enjoy about somebody, like if they're, clumsy or something like that. Like, these things we just need to look past. But let's say that they are sinful. Maybe the way that they act is sinful towards other people and they hurt others. Or maybe they're sinful towards us. They hurt us. They're just angry, rude people or whatever it may be. They may have tons of characteristic traits that are just worthless. And that's what sin is. It's completely worthless. But loving is not worthless. Now, to love somebody like that, it's kind of like bad medicine. Like, it's good for you. You know that we need to do it, but it just leaves a bad taste in our mouth. But one day we may never have to taste that medicine again. If we continue to love somebody, we are being like Christ in this world. And seeing the light of Christ changes people. Ask Paul. He experienced that. Now, we do what we need to. If we need to separate from somebody, we do that. If we need to talk to them about their sin, then we do that. If we need to take a stand against their sin, then we do that. But we don't have to just give up on them as some lost cause. We can pray for them. We can continue to be good for them, to them. We can continue to love them because change is not impossible. Ask Paul. Think about what if God would have given up on Paul. It says Paul was kicking against goats. What if God would have given up on us? What if every time we had an injury in this life, we saw it as something that needed to be amputated? We just said, we just give up. That could never heal. It'd be a pretty messed up looking society, wouldn't we? Society is messed up in a lot of ways. And the reason for that, or part of the reason for that, is what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 12. He says, "And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." Nobody is completely hopeless because God is involved. And God can change people. And those things that once disappointed us about somebody, those things that once made us angry about somebody, eventually they become the best part of the story. Now, they certainly may not think that. I doubt that Paul really liked to think about who he used to be and what he used to do to people. But we read this in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13. "Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. All of a sudden, who he used to be becomes the best part of the story because of who he is now. And as angry as we may be with somebody, as much as we may not like somebody because of how they act, the same could be said about them someday. And, you know, first and foremost, they would have Christ to thank for that, but also they could be thankful because somebody actually acted like a Christian towards them as well. Continuing, persevering, it keeps alive a chance, no matter how slim it is. It's just when we give up that chance truly goes away. Again, we read in 1 Corinthians that love never ends. Some version says love never fails, and children of God never fail to love. The great love and forgiveness that God extends is open to anyone who needs it now. If you do need that, please come forward and be baptized, or if you need any prayers of the congregation, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.